I think there's a lot of creative women out there. I just, you know, maybe it's just hesitation on their part to present their ideas and, you know mm-hmm. that that's the actual reason. But mm-hmm. I feel like that is a strong thing. I think women by nature are just a little bit more, what's the word?
Self-conscious. I think that, kind of like this, like, thing of, oh, me, little old me, you know, and also, like, you just don't have the confidence, you know, mm-hmm. that men tend to have, and you second guess yourself a lot, mm-hmm. and yeah. it's not only just, like, us doing this to ourselves. I think that men also tend to think that only other men can lead, mm-hmm. you know, just, like, and not consciously, but subconsciously, mm-hmm. you know, like who's going to be better or smarter at something, mm-hmm. you know, subconsciously, I think that most people think a man will.
You're listening to the Ink and Paint Girls podcast, where we celebrate the stories of women working in animation, illustration, and comics, while exploring female representation behind and on the screen. Get tips and advice for navigating the job-to-job nature of the industry through hearing their real-life sagas of making it happen. And we're back for part two with Kim Wood and Ray DeMesa. Kim works in animation production and has worked at a variety of studios, including Disney Feature Animation, Disney Toon, Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., and Duck. Ray is the director of social media and marketing at DreamWorks Animation. And together, they are awesome. If you haven't heard part one of this interview, feel free to pause this episode and go back to take a listen. You'll hear about their origin stories of getting into animation, how they met at DreamWorks Animation, and their thoughts on insurance and healthcare concerns during those dreaded hiatuses. And now, here's part two, continuing our conversation.
But I mean, so being a lesbian couple in the industry, have you felt like you haven't had the same opportunities as others, or have you felt like people give you a hard time? Mm-hmm. I forget the word.
Yeah. Discriminate?
Discriminated against, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Me personally, at DreamWorks, I haven't necessarily felt discriminated. But I think in the entertainment industry or marketing industry as a whole, I think not only as a lesbian, but just as a woman in general, mm-hmm. I definitely do think that there are a couple more hurdles. I mean, I hate to say that because I feel like we progress so much, obviously, but, mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a fact of life. Like, women aren't treated equally as men. Mm-hmm. And that is just something that I think a lot of people say that, you know, we've progressed so much, but, you know, the three of us are women. We can honestly say at some point in our career that we're just like, I feel like I would have gotten that position if I was a guy. I feel like I would have gotten mm-hmm. this promotion earlier if I was a guy. Or, you know, even when you're sitting in a meeting and the boys are talking about football or, you know, something like that, and you just can't relate, and it's almost a little hindering you because you're like second guessing yourself and your personality, and you're just like, God, I wish I knew more about football. But it's just like, you shouldn't have to. You know, mm-hmm. like, so I think it's those things that, you know, I think there's definitely moments in my career that I felt like, gosh, I wish I was a guy because I feel like I could have gotten to where I am faster, easier mm-hmm. if I was, but, not necessarily sexual orientation wise.
Yeah. I think I would agree more in that it's more of like problems because I'm a woman, you know, versus yeah. being mm-hmm. gay. Yeah. Like, I don't think that, honestly, anybody really has an issue with someone being gay in the industry. Like, most people in the industry are pretty liberal.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. And just kind of my stance on it is that I act like it's normal because it is, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you have a problem with it, then that's your problem, and this is my girlfriend, and whatever, and you mm-hmm. can just keep your mouth shut, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, and I think, though, too, like, if you just keep on acting like it's normal, then people will
yeah.
get used to it, kind of, and then it will be normal for them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just of course don't be like, so what do you think about me being gay? You know, like just don't open that door. And just generally everybody's like really like whatever about it. You know, like there are plenty of gay people in the industry. Mm-hmm. The thing though that I wish, as far as being gay, I almost wish that I were a gay man, because gay men tend to elevate each other, you know, and help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that with lesbians, you know, but that's also like more of a woman thing, I think.
Yeah, you don't really see it with women. Yeah.
Women don't really help each other out as much as they should, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And with Sheryl Sandberg, with her Lean In book, she just opened my eyes so much as far as like how we act in the workplace, you know, and how women tend to kind of have this crab effect, you know, of like pulling each other down sometimes, you know, and they're like kind of scared that they're, that you're going to get higher or something like that.
Yeah.
And, there are quite a few, like there's a lot of women producers, you know, in animation, but unfortunately, like I know some of them and it's just like, they're not the nicest people, you know? And I think that they almost feel like they need to make up for being woman by not being nice, you know?
Yeah. I've noticed that too, which is kind of, you know, I think that there was a running joke with a lot of the girls who were, you know, coordinators, and entertainment industry and as a whole. And it's just like, did she elevate to her title because she's mean, or is she mean because she's in the super stressful executive position? And it's just like, I personally feel like you can get high, you can climb the ladder by being a nice person, but I feel like overall, I think women, you know, and I find myself doing this sometimes too, in second guessing myself. It's just like, you do almost have to be competitive. You know, you have to be competitive against males, but in turn, sometimes you're competitive against women to the point where it's detrimental to both of you. And it's just like, you don't need to knock each other down for both of you to move up. At least, I hope not, you know. I certainly try to help, you know, girls in my industry as well, both girls and guys. But I feel like, I feel like girls just tend to be more competitive because they feel like they need to. Not necessarily, you know, aiming at women, but I think what we, other girls just happen to be victims of, you know, of you trying to be more competitive. And I think that's not always the case with guys.
I think it's a subconscious thing too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that women realize that they do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like in the gay male community, it's like they like, you know, try to help each other out and elevate each other. And it's not that way in the lesbian community, you know, but also we're just not as tight knit, I don't think, but just the way that I've noticed that, you know, females are in general, they just don't really help each other out as much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which is sad.
Oddly enough too, I noticed that gay men are more out in the workforce than gay women. And I'm not really quite sure why that is the case. And it's just one of those things. I think for me, it was a little bit easier because after I started dating Kim at DreamWorks, everyone knew my sexual orientation, obviously. So I never really had to, quote unquote, come out to people, you know?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you work with women for a while, and, like, I've worked with women for a while, and, like, months after, you know, I've started working with them, do they tell me that they're a lesbian or they're gay? And it's just like, not that you necessarily have to say that, but it's just one of those things where it's like, it is a part of my life. Like, I, you know, every single day I will talk about Kim, I will talk about my girlfriend. So I just feel like if you're getting to know a colleague and you're talking to your colleague and it's just like, not to mention your girlfriend or your wife or your kids for like months afterwards or for months until they do, it's just like, Why did you feel like you had to hold that in?
It's so weird. Sometimes you'll meet people where it's like, I'm like 90% sure you're a lesbian. And you know I'm a lesbian. And you know my girlfriend. And like, you're not saying anything that, you know, that is like, you know, like, I think she's hot or whatever. And it's like, come on, we both know you're gay. Like, why don't you just come out? Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, it's like, are you scared I'm going to judge you? Like, I don't understand, you know? Like,
Yeah. I think it's interesting, though, that, like, saying, like, oh, they didn't come out to me at work. But it's like, if you're straight, you don't come out to people at work, you know? So it's like, you shouldn't expect it at the same time. Like, if it falls in conversation, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Or if they're keeping it away from you just for whatever reason they have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Well, this is a thing with the gay community, is that, like, there's such a, like, tricky game with, like, pronouns when you're first coming out. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. when you first meet a person, you know? And I feel like I do this more out of safety reasons. The first time I meet a person, I'm just like, okay, if I happen to bring up my girlfriend, will this person, like, literally stop talking to me? And there are some people that I've met who are just like, if I tell this person I'm gay, or if I mention my girlfriend, like, I genuinely feel like this person is gonna get up and just be like, I'm not gonna talk to you. You know, so there's this tricky thing with pronouns when you're just like, you know, I'm going out with, or like, he or she, or like, my girlfriend, and stuff like that. And it's just like, I think it's a subconscious thing, or, I don't know. I think it's a purposeful thing. I mean, do you agree? Yeah, like I feel like when you're meeting a
person, when you're saying, like, you know, oh, this person, or you mean you're not saying he or she or whatever, or my girlfriend, like,
yeah.
It's very conscious.
It's a very conscious thing that you're saying, and so I feel like when people don't tell you, it's just like, I don't know, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's tricky. There's a fine line, like, you know, and it's definitely, I've never, like I said, like, I've never actually experienced, you know, any sort of, like, animosity or hatred towards me because I was a lesbian. But I also have to tread on, you know, like, I have to tread lightly on who I'm talking to, because honestly, off the bat, I can meet a person and just be like, I don't think this person is going to necessarily agree with my lifestyle.
I'll do that sometimes, too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a thing that you as a gay person have to, you have to make those choices, and it's just, like, it's weird. It's a very weird thing to just, you know, just be like, okay, don't mention your girlfriend, or, you know, don't mention these things, and it's just, like, it's weird.
Because you will get those people that will be like, no, you just haven't met the right man. You know?
Oh my gosh.
You just don't know what a real man is like yet. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, you're such an idiot.
I've never had that. But, you know, it's interesting. It is, it is something that there's another layer of your mindset when you are, you know, when you are a gay person and you're not necessarily, you're not in the closet, but you have to make a conscious decision of, like, for my safety and for, you know, everybody else in this room, or, you know, like, can I be completely honest? If someone asks, you know, if a complete stranger asks me, like, I guess this is a question for you as well. Like, if a complete stranger asks you, like, what did you do this weekend? You wouldn't necessarily, like, think twice to be like, oh, I went out with my husband, right?
Yeah.
But I think for a gay person, depending on who they're talking to, at least for me, I can't talk for the rest of the gay people.
Your vendors and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think when someone asks you, like, what did you do this weekend? It's just like, there's a half second where you're just like, okay, I feel like I'm safe enough to tell this person. So I'm like, I went out with my girlfriend this weekend, you know? Or sometimes if I don't feel comfortable, I'm just like, I don't think this person will, you know, take it lightly.
Or
this person agrees with my lifestyle. I can make a conscious decision to just be like, okay, I'm going to tell him no matter how he reacts. Or, you know, it's just like, honestly, it's not worth fighting with this person because I feel like he is going to make a big deal out of it. And, you know, so it's a weird thing that you have to.
It's like a way more heightened level of balancing just talking to people, because I know from working with Kim, we'd sometimes have to balance the way we spoke to certain people on the crew.
Absolutely.
Yours seems a little bit more
What do you mean by balance, how we spoke to people on the crew?
Just like, so when you talk to different artists, like, you kind of have to balance, like, how friendly you are versus how professional you are, yeah, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's obviously two totally different balancing acts.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, just to relate on some point.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in being in animation, how do you feel about the content that's not being created for gay, like, representation in the media?
Yeah. I think it's disappointing, honestly. I think it's definitely, it's crazy how much it has evolved in the last couple of years, you know? When we were growing up, there wasn't, I mean, I can't even remember an out person on TV, you know? It was a big deal when Ellen DeGeneres came out. Like, mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a big deal. And now it's just like, I love the fact that, you know, I love the fact that a lot of celebrities or people in authority can, you know, can come out and it's not as big of a deal, but it still makes, like, you know, like, oh, so-and-so came out. So there is this fine line of, like, mm-hmm. it is a big deal, but it's not a big deal. But it does make me sad to see that, like, you know, like one good example that came out, that broke out in media, was that Gobber from How to Train Your Dragon 2, he said this line about, you know, a character said something to him, and he's like, or Hiccup's parents were arguing or something, and he's like, that's why I never got married. And some interviewer had asked Dean DeBaugh, the director, who's an openly out man, you know, like, what did that line mean?
And no, he's like, didn't he say, that's why I never got married? And he's like, that and one other reason.
One other reason, yeah. Yes. And then so someone asked Dean DeBaugh, and Dean said, yeah, that's a nod to the fact that Gobber's gay, you know?
Oh.
And it like, hit blogs. I was actually, you know, but it was, like, it was aggravating because it hit blogs that people were just like, why are you pushing the gay agenda in an animated film? And I was like, he didn't necessarily, like, it wasn't full on in your face, but I think it was, you know, it was a unique way for Dean to put something about his personal life into his movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people were, you know, they were just like, you know, you don't need to force that into, you know, a kid's film. And I was just like, but that is a part of every, there are gay people out there and, you know, like, it should be something that's talked about at home, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it was, the reason why so many people are against it is because you didn't talk about it, you know, when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the sooner you bring it up to your kids, the sooner they'll just say, like, that's an everyday part of life. You know, like, some people are straight, some people are gay, some people fall in the line in between, and, you know, just make it an everyday part of your life. Like what Kim said,
mm-hmm.
the more you make it normal, the more it will be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is normal.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why, like, we kind of have a mutual dislike of the word partner, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it sounds so, like, separate, kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
almost, like, clinical, you know,
mm-hmm.
just, like, it's like, she's my girlfriend, if we get married, she will be my wife, you know,
yeah.
just, like, if you don't want it to be so different, then stop making it so different,
mm-hmm.
you know, is kind of how I feel like it, you know,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to use that term, then, you know,
that's
go ahead, you know, like, that's just kind of how we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ever have an animated program with, like, actually, like, gay characters, then I think that that will be, like, a huge sign of, like, prejudice is out the door, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
or really on its way out. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, well, if that happens and there isn't, like, a gigantic controversy over it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
I just... Everybody, you know, nobody wants their kid to be gay, you know? And if you have a gay character in there, then you're, like, you're teaching kids to be gay. And you're saying that it's okay to be gay, you know, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And people are very protective of their children. So, you know, I think that it's better these days in that, like, if they do, if their kids do end up being gay, it's not as tragic as it used to be. But still, nobody wants to have a gay child, you know, because mm-hmm. you want life to be as easy as possible for them.
I think when Kim says that, like, I think you can talk to, I mean, me as a gay person, mm-hmm. when someone asks me, like, you know, did you want to be, you know, did you, or like, I guess, how do people phrase it? When they ask, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, there is something that's clearly different about you from the rest of society. And it's something that a lot of people use against you. That's not something you want to have happen to mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, you don't want to be gay. You don't want to be different. You don't want people to use this thing about you against you. You don't want people mm-hmm. to make fun of you or to, you know, tease mm-hmm. you or taunt you or be prejudiced against you. But it is who you are. It is who I am. And so I think it's one of those things when people, you know, like when I talk to people, I'm just like, it's not that I don't want to be gay. It's because I am gay. Like, mm-hmm. I can't help who I am, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't want to hide from mm-hmm. who I am so that other people can be comfortable. But, mm-hmm. and I think mm-hmm. that's the thing is just like, the sooner that people are just like, it is a fact of life. Mm-hmm. Some people are gay. The more that people will be comfortable to talk about their sexuality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it, like, to your point, I think the sooner we bring it to, you know, animation, you know, the sooner that, like, kids will just see it as a normal part of mm-hmm. life and mm-hmm. that it's not such a taboo thing to talk about.
Yeah. And I think it is, you know, improving. Like, I remember when I realized I was gay, like, it took me forever to really, like, you know, realize it myself, you know, like mm-hmm. that, oh God, this isn't just a phase with this one person, you mm-hmm. know, and then took me forever more to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like, it was so hard, you know, and then I hear stories of these people just kind of going like, yeah, I think I'm gay, you know, and then just being like, so okay with it. And I'm like, my God, I agonized over that. You know, yeah. like so much.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, just the fact that it's so much easier for them to say it, you know, and be like, is this really who I am? You know, and kind of like see, you know, is mm-hmm. just such a big deal, like mm-hmm. for that change, you know, kind of like a 180, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, gosh, you said something and I was going to say something I forgot.
Yeah. No, and not to tout social media. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. And then also one of the struggles that I had when I was realizing that I was gay was like, seriously, like, I'm a woman. I'm half Chinese and half white. Now I'm gay on top of it. Like, seriously? Like, you know, as far as like stacking the deck against me, you know, like, shit, I'm a woman. Okay, shit. I'm, you know, like, mm-hmm. sorry. I'm cursing. You know, but it seemed at first like, can't I control this? Like, why am I stacking the deck more so against myself?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, like a hardship then. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, I should be able to do this or control this.
Well, that's also one of those things, too, like, not to tout social media right now, like, it was different for us growing up because we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter, we didn't have Tumblr, and Tumblr is, I mean, I see the kids on Tumblr, like, I'm on Tumblr every single day, you know, and it's just seeing how kids connect with mutual interests. And a lot of that is television. It is animation, you know? Mm-hmm. So to see these people connect, and it's just like, obviously, if like you like a gay character on a TV show and another person likes this gay character as well, and you're starting a mutual conversation, you're starting, you know, a group across global people, global fans, it's just like, you don't feel so alone. And I think that was the hardest for us growing up, was that you didn't really know a lot of people, like, who were out of the closet, you mm-hmm. know? And it was, like, we grew up in a time where, you know, it was more acceptable. I mean, certainly, you know, people prior to us had much, much harder time than mm-hmm. us. But even for us, it was tough. It was tough because we didn't, I mean, we had, we didn't have social media like the way that, you know, kids have. And they can lean on each other and support each other. And, you know, they don't even have to necessarily know each other, but to support each other on a digital platform and then to connect with people using common interests. I mean, it's fantastic. So, you know, I think it would be great. I honestly, I can't wait until we have the first, you know, like in a feature film, like be the first actual out animated. There's no like subtle, it's just, they are who they are. It happens to be a gay man, it happens to be a gay woman, and that's who they are, and we're not going to make a big deal out of it. You know, we're just going to present the character as is.
Yeah, so. Just along those lines, like, the when that day comes, like, oh my god, we will have progressed so much, because, like, it's just, like, they hardly even have, like, you know, main characters be girls, you know? Like, Brave was the first one for Pixar. Like, oh my god, you know? Like,
is it really?
Yeah, it was the first female lead. So, it's just like, come on. Like, I thought that we'd advance more than this, and we really haven't that much. And if you look at, like, the roles that people have in entertainment jobs specifically, too, it's pretty bad, you know? Like, and it's funny because, like, socially, in some ways, we've advanced so much. And then, like, work-wise, not really. Because, like, there are so few, like, female directors. So few. Like, really bad. And then also, like, with the Oscars, you know? Like, no black people nominated for any acting roles. You know? Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. Like, it's for the second year in a row. It's, you... Like, I feel it's weird because, like, society-wise, I feel like we've advanced quite a bit. And then you have, like, things like this, like, professionally, and you're just like, what's the deal? I thought that we were better than this, you know?
I think entertainment has a long way to go to represent actual society, you know? There's so much diversity in our society, and then for the media not to reflect it, I think it's crazy.
That's another great thing about YouTube, is that, like, everyone of every ethnicity and every, like, every type of person is making content.
So it's nice, too, because, you know, kids who are watching YouTube, you know, they might not see it on their TV, they might not see it on big screen for film, but they'll see it with a girl who is in, you know, San Francisco, who's creating this content. And so a girl in the Midwest can be like, she's like me, and I'm not alone, and it's going to be okay. It's nice. It's, you know.
It gets better.
DreamWorks has been pushing with the release of Kung Fu Panda 3. You know, Jennifer Yu Nelson. And she said something, it was quoted in this article, about how, like, when she would visit, like, I guess schools or meet young students, like, this little Asian girl came up to her, and it was like, she wants to be a director like her, but the reason that she sought her out and came up to see her was because she was also Asian, and that Jennifer looked just like that little girl. And I think that's pretty amazing as well.
And, you know, like, it's great because Jenya Nelson, like, she's just brilliant. She's so fantastic, and she's so humble, and, you know, I think she's still the, like, in terms of female directors, I think she still holds, you know, the largest box office number, which is fantastic, you know, and, but it's one of those things, I'm like, there's so many talented directors out there, like, let's get them out there, you know? Have them create content, and let's get them out there. And it's nice, though, on an animation scale, because it is, I feel like there is a lot of female animators, but I feel like the guys are definitely more on the forefront of, you know, they're the ones in front of the cameras when they're being interviewed about these animated films, and it's just like, it's fantastic that Jenya Nelson is the one that's doing it, but, you know, we'll have to see it.
What do you think is holding women back, like, from being in those positions where, you know, they're directing, or they're, you know, pitching these shows, or getting interviewed about these films being made?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I can't speak for them. I feel like, honestly, I can only speak from my own experiences, and I feel like there's a lot of times where I hesitate to, you know, you're in a high executive meeting, and someone's asking for creative ideas, and you almost hesitate, you almost second guess yourself, and it's just like, is my idea good enough to be presented in front of these people. And I feel like women have a tendency to do that more. And I feel like, you know, I think there's a lot of creative women out there. I just, you know, maybe it's just hesitation on their part to present their ideas. And I'd hate to actually, you know mm-hmm. that that's the actual reason. But mm-hmm. I feel like that is a strong thing. I think women by nature are just a little bit, you know, more, what's the word?
Self-conscious. I think that, like, again, the Lean In book, you know, Sheryl Sandberg's book, just really opened my eyes to, like, so many tendencies mm-hmm. of what women do and, like, I do as well. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's just kind of like this, like, thing of, oh, me, little old me, you know, and also, like, you just don't have the confidence, you know, mm-hmm. that men tend to have. And you second guess yourself a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it's not only just like us doing this to ourselves. I think that men also tend to think that only other men can lead, mm-hmm. you know, just like, and not consciously, but subconsciously, mm-hmm. you know, like who's going to be better or smarter at something, mm-hmm. you know, subconsciously, I think that most people think a man will. Mm-hmm. So, and particularly when it comes to roles like directing, when it's like so totally a male role, mm-hmm. you know, like, or statistically is a male role, you mm-hmm. know, stereotypically is a male role. Mm-hmm. You know, you think only a man can do it, like not consciously, but unconsciously.
Yeah, it's kind of like the woman being a doctor thing. You always yeah. expect it to be a man.
Yeah, you always expect it to be a man. It's really mm-hmm. weird. Mm-hmm. And I know that I go through the same thing of just like, I don't have confidence in certain things that I probably should. Mm-hmm. And just, I don't know what it is, but men tend to be a lot more confident.
Yeah.
But one thing that was really cool too about Jenya Nelson is that she, when she was doing Kung Fu Panda 2, I was on Me and My Shadow, and we were working on the same floor together, but mm-hmm. in separate productions on the different sides of the floor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that she was the director. And I would run into her in the bathroom and I would just be like, hi, how are you doing? How's your day? And I thought that she was just like, I thought she was a storyboard artist. And then not until like shortly before Kung Fu Panda 2 came out, did I find out that she's the director. And I was like, oh my God. And she's so like unassuming like that. She's very like quiet, you know, and calm and down to earth, and just like, you know, she doesn't have a big personality like that.
Mm-hmm. Or a big ego.
A big mm-hmm. ego, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was super cool. But it's mm-hmm. just like, wow, she doesn't have that sort of like ego presence, you know?
Yeah.
And just in like Sheryl Sandberg's book, there's like this, you know, thing, just going back to like the subconscious judging of women versus men. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this example that she said where they took two resumes, exact same resumes, but just changed the name on the resume. So one was a female name and one was a male name. And they gave them to panels, you know, and it's like, okay, well, what do you think of this person? Would you want to hire this person?
Mm-hmm.
And the male resume was like, he looks like he'd be a great leader. You know, he looks like he's really driven. He knows what he wants. I would definitely hire this person. And then the female resume was like, she seems bitchy and kind of like she's going to do whatever she can to get to the top, you yeah. know? And she, I mean, just like they had like almost all negative things to say about
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Exact same resume, but just change the name so it's a yeah. female name instead of a male name.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And so also it's bad as a female if you do have confidence in yourself, because then it's just like, tone it down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just terrible because, yeah, I feel like, you know, when a woman is, when she knows what she wants, she goes for it. A lot of people are just like, oh, she's a little too aggressive. But then a guy does mm-hmm. the exact same thing. He's like, oh, he's a go-getter. And it's
mm-hmm.
just like,
yeah,
I'm doing the exact same yeah. thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why J.K. Rowling made her name J.K.,
yeah.
you know, when
yeah.
she was, you know, publishing
yeah.
her books.
Is that why?
Yeah.
I read that somewhere that
yeah.
she went with J.K. because, it would appeal to boys and girls then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really.
Don't quote me on that,
yeah.
but something like
yeah.
that.
Instead of saying
no,
Pat.
It makes sense. Yeah. yeah. I mean, honestly, my name is kind of, you know, it's Ray. So, you know, spelling is R-A-E, but some people don't necessarily associate that spelling with a girl. Sometimes you know, we're exchanging emails, and it's just like, you know, and then I'd hop on the phone with them, and they're just like, oh, well, I thought you were a guy. Or they make some kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, man, I thought you were a guy. And it's just like, I'm not, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. are you going to treat me any differently? But it's a little weird that, like, people would be like, oh, I thought you were a guy. And it's just like, why would you say that?
You know? I've totally said that to someone before, though.
Yeah, I feel like I have, too. Well, but I definitely didn't mean anything like that.
Yeah. But it was just more of shock, you know? Yeah. Just like, wow,
I think you're trying to picture someone.
Yeah, because, you know, like, up until a certain point, I had only email corresponded with someone at DreamWorks. And then I was really confused when I went to go, like, drop something off. And then I go up to the desk, and I'm like, hi, is blah, blah, blah here? And she's like, oh, I'm, you know, them. And I'm like, I thought you were a white man, you know? And her first name was Chris, and her last name was a white name because her husband is white, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I thought you were a white man. you know, just, yeah. Oops.
Well, it's our brains. We like, live off stories. Yeah. And we make up these stories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like, you know, I don't know. It's just so, like, what? Because you have a certain picture in your mind, and it's just like, that's not it at all.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
So, it's getting late. I'm sure you guys are getting tired. But I do want to wrap up this episode with giving, like, some advice. And it could be any advice that you want to give. Just think about giving it to yourself when you're first starting out in the industry or you are looking for work right out of college. Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, Ray.
Oh, man. Pressure's on. I think the best advice I could give to anyone who wants to start working in animation or entertainment in a whole industry as a whole is to just go for it. I think don't let your fears, don't let your, you know, your nerves get the best of you. Don't feel like this company won't look at your resume. Don't feel like this person won't interview you. I think there's so many chances out there and life is so short. And I just feel like you should just go for it, you know? Like, if I didn't go for the HBO internship in high school, then I wouldn't be where I am right now. If I didn't apply for that position when DreamWorks tweeted about it, I wouldn't be here right now. If I didn't ask my friends who Breakfast Girl was, I wouldn't be here right now. So I think it's those things where, you know, like, your own fears are your worst enemy. So, you know, and the worst that could happen is that you don't get that job, but there's always going to be a new opportunity somewhere. So, I think just go for it.
Nice. Being in animation can be very rewarding, you know, like working on something that you're proud of, you know, and I think one thing that I really like about the industry is that it's not stuffy, you know, like I don't go to work in a suit. I can go to work in jeans and sneakers and a t-shirt and it's okay, mm-hmm. you know, and they tend to have nice perks and stuff as well at certain studios. So, and I like that it's a more relaxed environment. I am concerned as far as how the industry is going, as far as jobs being exported to other countries, because, just animated movies don't bring in what they used to bring in, mm-hmm. you know, money wise. So, you know, I get it in that they need to make money, you know, mm-hmm. but it sucks as far as jobs go, you know, you have more artist jobs being, sent overseas and then thus you don't need as many production people to support them. So, and that's just kind of where the industry is going, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how that is. But, but it has rewarding aspects as well. You mm-hmm. know, definitely rewarding aspects where, you know, like I said, as far as the Disney stuff, you know, like seeing little girls run around in Rapunzel dresses, you know, like that's a lot of fun. And you meet some really amazing people and really talented people. And I think that one of the highlights for me is meeting people who worked on things that literally were some of the highlights of your childhood, you know, mm-hmm. like my friend's husband was a storyboard artist on Animaniacs. I loved Animaniacs, wow. you know, and mm-hmm. Like, when I was at Disney, I got to meet Glenn King, you know, and he signed my poster and mm-hmm. those sort of things. I was with, you know, on a show where the guy, he was an artist on Doug, you know, for Nickelodeon. That was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, those sentimental moments. And I'm a very sentimental person.
Yeah.
So that stuff is really big. And then you hope, too, that you're doing the same sort of thing for some other kid who's going to love your show so much, you know, and want to be in animation as well. So, yeah. I mean, it may not be anything like curing cancer or something like that, but I don't think that people that are curing cancer have a lot of fun at their job. I wouldn't think anyway. Just kidding.
I mean, they're doing literally amazing things with their lives.
Yeah. At least. Yeah. Good for you guys. Please keep curing cancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I bet you have a lot of fun with it when you make a lot of headway, of course.
Do you have advice?
Advice?
I mean, was your advice to keep that in mind when you have bad days or when you question whether to keep going?
Yeah, you know.
What's your advice?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I think your best advice would just be, like, as cheesy as it sounds, just reach for your dreams. I mean,
reach for your dreams.
Honestly, like, I mean, it's pretty amazing to me that it's just like, you were at a standstill in your career and you're just like, okay, what are the two things that I love most? And it's like Olympics and Disney. And then fast forward a couple mm-hmm. years later and your name is on a Disney film. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
the Kim way of deciding things. I love it.
I know.
Like, you're just so practical.
Yeah.
Like, it's you narrow awesome. It down. And I'm sure it's a little faster to describe now than it was at that time. I'm sure it took a few months to really, like, narrow it down to Olympics or Disney.
Yeah.
But it's, your brain's pretty amazing.
Oh, I wish, but thank you. Like, and it took a lot too in order to, like, just get into Disney, you know, like, it was, you know, like, I was a temp first, you know, and I was mm-hmm. temping at, like, okay, Disney Channel building, you know, but the first one I got was at Tommy's Hamburgers, you know, and which was fine, but I'm like, this isn't really what I wanted to do though, but you know, you just kind of keep on plugging away at it and then hoping that, you know, like, something will stick, you know, like, something will mm-hmm. come along, you know, because you're starting out with really, like, no experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just getting in where you can.
A huge thanks to Kim Wood and Ray DeMesa for joining us here on the Ink and Paint Girls podcast. It was a pleasure getting to hear their stories, and being able to share it with you all is like the cherry in the cola, my favorite part. Ink and Paint Girls is recorded in Burbank, California, produced by me, Cassie Soliday, associate producer Val Patrone. Theme song courtesy of TV's Kyle. The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. If you enjoyed this episode, please share and rate on iTunes. It helps our little community grow and spread these stories of women working in animation, illustration, and comics to a wider audience. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Girls podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Kim works in animation production and has worked at various studios. I'm going to start over. Oh, my God.
Figure out how you're going to say various studios.
Various studios. Various, a variety of studios. My woman.